At our time in history, there's a lot of emphasis on figuring out the things we have in common in our shared humanity. But the fact is, we are individuals and genders. People do differ from one another in many ways, subtle and not. Not everyone learns the same way. That's a big one, and the focus of the work of Janet Allison. She's the founder of a website and podcast and training program called Boys Alive, with an exclamation point at the end. It focuses on the ways in which the energy of boys differs from that of girls and how to use that energy in teaching boys. Janet Allison, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Janet will be speaking tonight at a program at the Siskiyou School, and we do have from the Siskiyou School Nina Galway in the studio as well. She runs the Ohana program at the Siskiyou School. Thanks for joining us, Nina.
Thank you so much. Nice to be here.
So, Janet, I understand you were a young teacher facing a classroom, the way your website tells the story, and not quite prepared for what you got from the boys.
Oh, my gosh. I started a first grade right here in the Rogue Valley with 10 boys and 2 girls, and my university training did not prepare me for those 10 boys and what they would need in the classroom.
So you got better at it, evidently.
I got really curious. I had to. And intuitively, or maybe it was just survival, I knew I needed to get them outside and moving their bodies. And that really helped. But I went on a course of study from there on. And that was 1995-ish. And so for 20 years, I've been studying boys and men and learning styles and how we differ from each other and how we can communicate to support each other.
So we talk in terms now of a boy crisis and you know, what happened to America's boys, all that, you know, a couple different ways that people talk about this. Did something change? Did the educational system change? Did boys change? Did expectations change?
I think it's a little bit of all of that, but we, with a very female-centric preschool and elementary school, we have females looking at boys through that female lens. And they're kind of following the model of sit still, listen, and learn. And boys do not learn that way. They need to be moving their bodies. And so we have to, I think we have come to crisis proportions. We're seeing studies and statistics. And in every way, boys are failing. Boys are being diagnosed for ADHD when they probably don't have it. Some do, but a lot don't. But it's this idea that they're active, they're energetic, and the context, especially of school, is not meeting their needs.
It sounds almost like a prison when you put it that way, in the sense of, you know, sit down, be quiet, and don't move around.
Yeah, it is. And so we see 85 to 90% of discipline referrals in schools are boys. You walk through most any school and the boys are sitting in the hall. The boys are the ones being sent to the principal's office. And boys, I had a first mom of a first grade boy tell me that he came home one day and said, "Mom, all the girls are perfect and I'm the bad one."
Oh,
that's, in first grade.
Yeah. He really took that to heart then.
Yeah, boys feel it. They know that the girls can sit still, the girls can do the beautiful handwriting, and the boys really just still want to be playing, especially in those early years.
I want to bring Nina Galway in here, the Ohana program director at the Siskiyou School. Siskiyou School is a Waldorf school, is that right?
So the Siskiyou School is a Waldorf school. We serve 185 students. We have been in the Rogue Valley for many years. The first school closed in 2000, and our new incarnation is now on Clay Street, and we're thriving. And Janet was actually one of our original teachers and has gone off to do this work. My program in particular serves children with learning challenges. And what happened for me when I started off in special ed 25 years ago was I couldn't understand why most of the children were boys in the program, in the learning center where I was working. The majority of the children were boys under the age of 9 who were being identified with learning challenges. And in my study and work over the years, have really come to see that they need more time to develop those neural pathways through healthy movement, through hands-on learning, and that they do it differently than the girls. So the Ohana program is not just boys. It's boys and girls, but we do honor that there's time time to for those children who have these learning challenges and differences to make up that time with a lot of movement, with a lot of sensory integration, and also a curriculum that meets them. So when the boys are learning to read, especially, that it can be done in more of a hands-on, playful way sitting still for a long time.
So it sounds like you already have incorporated a lot of the ideas that, that Janet puts out there.
Yes.
Okay. Plus, you knew Janet already, it sounds like.
I knew Janet, but this is, Janet's work comes out of, all of us have really been on this path of how do children actually develop neurologically. And what we're seeing is, and, you know, with great respect to all educators, but there's been a putting standards on children and time limits on children much earlier now. Mm-hmm. And if you look at some of the schools in Europe, they actually don't do that. Some like Finland, where the children are testing out highest in the world, they don't actually even go into academics until they're seven. They're really left for that early childhood movement to happen.
I had heard about that some other cultures. Yes, yeah. We're talking about boys in particular and their coaching, teaching, training. Nina Galway is with the Siskiyou School, which is bringing Janet Allison from Boys Alive to Ashland. Janet's in the studio too. She'll be talking tonight at the Siskiyou School, 6:30 to 8, about boys and their care and feeding, I guess, at the educational level. You can join us right now on The Exchange with your questions and comments at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So the thing about scheduling is really interesting to me about time limits, things like that. I mean, kids, we do schedule kids a lot younger than we used to, don't we?
We definitely do. And part of what Nina was alluding to and your question earlier about why are we seeing this now, it is because we're pushing down academics into kindergarten and first grade. And boys are on a different developmental trajectory than girls. They are, even at birth, 2 weeks less mature than girls. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 2 weeks less mature. And so that follows through, and we need to honor that and recognize that, which is part of what Nina's work does. We need to be aware that if we can have boys be older in their classes, they're at an advantage. They've had a little more time to move their bodies and self-regulate, all of those things that we want to see. But meanwhile, we're pushing down standardized testing, academics, younger and younger, and this is stressing our boys. And when they're stressed, they're going to be active and moving their bodies and perhaps not cooperating in the way that female teacher would like to see them cooperate.
So the moving their bodies part is clear to anybody who's ever been around a boy child for any amount of time. The fact that there's always a stick or there's something to beat it upon is just one thing that becomes clear in a hurry. So what do you do with that, though? I mean, how you talk about incorporating the movement and the energy. How do you then incorporate that into academic work?
Well, you've got to start out with movement in the morning. And I know some schools do 20 minutes of movement. Jump rope sounds old-fashioned, but it's really the place to begin. I know a school in Portland, first through eighth grade, they're all out jumping rope in the morning. And so getting that movement into the consciousness, and we found that even test scores go up if children have had 20 minutes of movement before they sit down to take the test. Schools in Texas are incorporating 15-minute recess periods, 4 recess periods in a day. Their behavior management discipline referrals have gone down. Their academics have gone up.
So I want to make some differentiation here, though, because are we talking about movement for focus or movement to wear them out so they now want to sit down and listen to the lesson?
Might be a little of the same.
Really both. Yeah. I would say both. If you actually really understand how the brain works, we're actually not designed to sit for very long. The brain is, over evolution. Movement is what tells the brain, okay, now something's happening. Mm-hmm. So they say that actually if a child's been sitting, especially a child, for more than 20 minutes, you've actually begun to shut down about 60% of the brain's energy. So and it's really simple. It's just as much as getting them up for 5 minutes or allowing, especially the boys, like to put their finger up and go, "Ooh, I need a movement break," where it's not a punishment. It's that they begin to learn how to take care of themselves and go, "Ooh, I need a lap." And at our school, you'll see children all times of day running around, doing something, and then very quietly re-entering the classroom, and they learn how to take care of themselves in that way.
Nina Galway's with the Siskiyou School in Ashland, a Waldorf school, bringing Janet Allison, a former staffer, back to talk about her program, Boys Alive. You can join the conversation as we talk about how to teach boys here on the Jefferson Exchange. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I'm sure both of you at various times have gotten a face full from people who say, look, they're kids. You tell them what to do and they do it. You know, don't think about making special accommodations just because they're feeling jumpy. I mean, or give them Ritalin, as I'm sure you've heard a lot, too. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, anything, and I get a lot of pushback of, but what about the girls? What about the girls? Well, I raised two daughters, so, you know, I'm pro-girl also. But what's happened in our society is we have been very pro-girl and women, and we have a lot of programs that support girls and women. There's a White House Council for girls and women. There is not a White House Council for boys and men, although we've been advocating for that for years. And so it's time in our consciousness to bring about awareness of the boy crisis, of absent fathers, of the fact that 93% of males are in prison. In prison, 93% are males. And how many of those did not have a dad present in their life? And looking at how dads impact boys. Impact girls, yes, but they're really important for raising boys. Boys need males in their life, role models, and fathers, uncles, grandfathers, mentors.
I noticed that in your work, and I wonder how families where there is a father at home, they take advantage of the boy's affinity for the father.
Mm-hmm. So dads tend to be the ones that roughhouse, and Nina can tell you, you know, boys and girls, but boys especially need that roughhousing. They learn how to manage their impulses. Mm-hmm. They build neural pathways. That is a bonding experience for boys and their dads. And as moms, we're standing on the sideline going, oh no, somebody's going to get hurt. But he actually does need to get hurt, because that's a process of learning. And if he cries, then it's building his empathy in that way with dad.
All right, so some bruises are required.
Absolutely. those are, you know, the wounds of pride.
Janet Allison, you point out in your work that words matter. The words that adults use with kids, are there some real trouble zones you counsel people to avoid?
I spoke with just a mom just the other day, and she called because the school had been calling about her 4-year-old and saying her 4-year-old was aggressive. And when we looked at the behavior, it was actually, and the mom knew this in her heart intuitively, he was frustrated. But the preschool, the teacher had put the label aggressive on this 4-year-old boy. And so, you know, then that sends us down a whole different route rather than, oh, he's frustrated. How can we help him understand his frustration and work with frustration? But if the adults have already categorized him as an aggressive boy, then we've got problems.
All right. So adults have to be careful not to label and assume that label's going to stick, especially with a 4-year-old, because things can change a lot between 4 and 5.
And he's just being a boy. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the media monster that you refer to in your work, too, I mean, how much is that an issue, though, in boys and the ways in which they behave now in the approaching the year 2020?
Mm-hmm. Screens are a big deal. Video games are very compelling. They're designed to be addictive. And our boys, more than our girls, are drawn to video games. It's got the challenge and got to work up a level and eye-hand coordination. Boys often communicate with each other through their video games. And so we have to be aware of what's happening. Boys and girls will never ask for less media. So you need to think about that when you have young ones. You know, how much screen time am I going to let them have? It's a fact of life. It's not going away, but we have to learn how to navigate, and you will be negotiating. It's a fact of life now with your kids around media.
So there's no, you know, because I said so, and those days are gone.
Seems
and probably
like those,
should have been anyway, right?
Yeah, it seems like those days are gone. But understanding the addictive nature of video games, and boys are seeking adventure. They're seeking challenge. We need to give them that in real life.
So at sessions like the one you're giving tonight at the Siskiyou School at 6:30, I mean, I imagine there's quite a few looks pass across the faces of the parents you're talking to.
Parents are amazed by this information, and you know, some of it is so simple. I give a lot of practical strategies and share a lot of anecdotes that have helped parents in the past, and it's very dynamic conversation. It's a lot of fun, so I hope people will come out to that tonight.
Is it open to the public, Nina?
Yes, it is open to the public, and we so welcomed everyone. And also to you know, put out the blurb that it's not really just for the boys, too.
Exactly.
It's really honoring, you know, and understanding also the differences and maybe the, you know, how girls learn as well, and Janet brings that.
All right.
And it's partly also about males and females, men and women, and how we communicate and relate to each other.
All right. I want to thank Janet Allison from Boys Alive for joining us. Thanks for coming back to Ashland for the session tonight at the Siskiyou School. And I want to thank Nina Galway from the Ohana program at the Siskiyou School for joining us as well. All
right. Thank you.